Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me start it this way. I would not, if I'm the Mets, be letting anybody, but specifically Pete Alonso in this case, be dictating my offseason. Remember last year, they let it drag out forever. The Mets were like, well, we want him back, but we feel like we're offering a fair offer. Then it got to the point where they felt like they needed to move on, and it was definitive that they were going to move on, then they ended up together. This year for me, and we talked about this yesterday, I would go to Pete and say, look, where's the money that you want? That's fine. Okay, here's where we're at with the money. You got to be a DH. If he can't get beyond the idea of him being a DH, I don't see how the Mets can improve their ball club. So the perfect world would be Pete back as a DH, part-time DH, part-time first baseman. Then you can build out from there, get a solid defensive first baseman to complement Pete and build out your roster there. But outside of that, I'm not bending over backwards or holding up my offseason waiting on Pete Alonso and his greedy agent to get their 6 or 7 year offer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Sal, how much longer are we going to kick this down the road? I mean, this cannot be an every year or two occurrence where, all right, Pete had a good year, Pete's going to opt out, you know, what's the market going to say this year based on what he just did the previous year? The rubber's sitting the road here. This is it. I mean, is Pete going to be a lifelong Met, or is Pete not going to be a lifelong Met? The difference to me is that I think last year they were less committed to like what they really wanted to do organizationally. I think we could probably boil it down to this. Like, I think this is a pretty fair guess/assessment. Stearns doesn't love him. Going back to last year, Stern doesn't really value him or love him the way the fans do. I think Cohen was kind of in between, wanted to give his general manager a chance to build the team and his vision, but also then he started listening to the fans at the fan fest, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that right now there's a lot more clarity. I really do. I don't think that there's a lot to interpret anymore. I think that the way the season ended, now it's not Pete's fault because Pete had a really good year, right. But I actually think that there is there was kind of an awakening within the Mets organization, and I could be reading this totally wrong. I don't think he's back. I don't think Pete's going to be back with the Mets unless Pete took a massive concession, whether it's in terms of length, AAV, or being primarily a DH, which I do not think he will consent to. I don't think Pete's going to be back.
If he wants the most money and the Mets say, here's the one thing I would not do, in addition to the DH, it would be a non-starter for me. I'm saying I'm not playing this game all offseason long. We want you back. Like, there's a part of Pete, I believe, that wants to be loved, but he wants to be loved by showing the paycheck. The idea that Boris would come out with 6-7 years, like, come on, dude. It's not realistic. Now, if they want to wait for that, that's on them. I would go in a different direction. The way that Sandy Alderson did years ago, and I think wrongfully so, with JT Realmuto, he didn't want to wait for Realmuto and just said, we're going to go get McCann. Now, that turned out to be a disaster. It's not apples to apples here, but that thought process would be what I would want to have is, we want you back, Pete. If you want to be a Met, here are the circumstances. We'll give you what we believe is fair market value, 5 years, 150, whatever it may be, around that. That's what I'm saying I would do. Maybe they wouldn't even go to that extent. I'm saying I would, because I'm paying. The biggest appeal about Pete Alonso is that you're paying for his power. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is something that to me is worth investing in because it's been constant. So I would tell him, I'll invest in you, Pete. We want you to be back. We want you to be a lifelong Met. 5 years, 150, again, whatever the math is around that, you've got to be a part-time DH, part-time first baseman. Now, if he doesn't like that, for whatever reason, the DH part of it, he wants to wait to get more money, I am moving on. I'm not letting Pete Alonso hold up my offseason. And I hope that Steve Cohen lets David Stearns handle things like that.
Yeah, I don't know that he let him do it last year. And that's what we talked about, where I think the sentiment of the fans kind of crept in.
Different, though. You mentioned it's different this year.
I do think it's different. And by the way, I respected that last year. You know, coming off the year that they had, they were almost to the World Series. I understood the energy around Pete and why it dragged on a little bit there. It was a tough market to read because he had had, you know, at that point, 2 years in a row that for him were a little bit down. The batting average was down. You know, it was a different evaluation. I think right now, I think it's very clear that the Mets need a massive overhaul of epic proportions, right?
So beyond just the starting rotation, which is an obvious thing.
Yes. I mean, you know, we talk about Pete now, obviously, but who's playing second? Who's playing third? Who's definitely the catcher? Who's playing center? Who's playing left? I mean, it's Nimmo based on the contract, but is that what you really want? And for me, the answer is probably not, which means I'd be open to trading Nimmo, as you and I have discussed. So there's a lot of work to do, not to mention getting some guys at the top of the rotation, seeing what's going on with Skubal. Now, the good thing is the Mets have money, the Mets have prospects. So there are off seasons that you go into where there's either a budgetary restraint or you got the 19th rated prospect list and nobody really wants to do business with you. The Mets are actually in a position of power. Now, if they were to drop the edict to Pete about playing DH, and this came up a little bit yesterday with you and I don't think there's any way Pete's going to consent to that. Okay, I just don't. Now, and I actually understand that as a competitor. Not that I'm playing first base in the majors, but like if I could put myself in Pete's shoes, I'm sitting there saying, I mean, why the hell at the age of 30, soon to be, I think he's going to be 31 in a month or so, why am I going to go to the DH when I'm got a lot of baseball left in me here?
Because money talks.
Yeah.
And if he wants to be a Met, which I don't think he really, like I think he might care about it a little bit, I think he wants the best contract. And whether that's the Cubs or Mariners or Phillies or Red Sox.
Yeah, I think he loves being a Met, man.
Well, I do.
Then prove it by going to DH.
Bingo. Here's what I am looking at. And by the way, God bless him if he wants to go get the most money and if he can get it. Like, I have no issue with
Absolutely.
That. I am looking at it from make the Mets better perspective. They need a DH. I believe Pete's power and success in New York offensively is something worth investing in. Also, nobody can argue, including Pete himself, that he is not a great defensive first baseman. The Mets are going to value defense as they should. Look at the World Series, how that played out.
I know.
You think Pete Alonso is making a fraction of those plays?
No.
Or any of the Mets, for that matter. It's not Pete Alonso, but any of the Mets.
They got a lot of work to do.
You got to tighten things up. Pete, as a DH, is plus.
Yep.
Now you have one of the better DHs. And again, it's not just exclusive DH. You could play a little bit of first. If he's not open to that, I need to move on. I'm not letting him hold up my offseason like he did into January and February a year ago. End of story. This is different this time. So he may think the market's going to be a certain way, whatever he may want. From the Mets' perspective, if I'm Stearns or Cohen or whoever's making these decisions, here's what the offer is. You are going to be a DH or start the transition to DH. Here's what I think you're worth. Now, for me, I would go to a 5-year, 150. That may be more than you would do, BT.
I wouldn't give him 5 years. No way.
Okay, maybe it'd be more than the Mets would give him. Either way, they got to give him their max offer in accordance with him accepting a DH role. If he doesn't like it, they need to move on. End of story.
I respect the bottom line position. I do. I think if that's the case and if the Mets were willing to do that, I think Pete walks. And the Mets need to be okay with that, which means...
Would you be okay with that?
Yeah,
okay,
I absolutely would. Yeah. And this is not disrespecting Pete. I think you need to build the team very differently. You know, again, I didn't think Vlad Guerrero was a very, very talented first defensively, but you saw him do things that Pete just doesn't do, all right? And if you watch the World Series or any playoff series with Toronto, you know what I'm saying. And I think that it's time to really shift the focus on how the Mets are built. Now, the other thing too, right? So I think that there are certain situations where you can make concessions, right? Whether it's having him play first base, even though he's average or slightly below, because there's a monetary uptick with Pete, right? Or with player X. I'm obviously talking about Pete. But that's not the case with Pete Alonso. The reason why the Mets' attendance soared was because of Juan Soto, not because of Pete Alonso. The year before, when Pete Alonso was the star along with Lindor and Soto was in the Bronx, you know, there were 17,000 people there on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights during the school year when when the Mets were in a pennant race. And then Cohen, obviously, he implored the fans, hey, come on, you got to come out, you got to support the product. And they did that, and I believe that they did that primarily out of for Juan Soto, that star. Like, Juan Soto's a platinum star player. Like, he just resonates differently than Pete. People don't flock to Queens to watch Pete. I say this not to diss Pete, because there's the financial aspect, right? And then there's the baseball aspect. I don't think he affects the bottom line as favorably as some people thought that he once did. And his deficiencies, he's an imperfect player. So if somebody wants him for big money, again, I really do respect Pete, but I would let him go.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It sounds to me like you don't want Pete back.
I want him back, but it's got to be perfect. If it's not perfect,
like what?
Give me
the parameters.
Give me two. I'll even give him big money. Like, I'll give him 30 change. I'll go. I'll make him the highest paid first baseman again.
But you would have him play first base.
Well, here's the thing. I would. Well, I'm going to be a little sneaky here. Once you sign the contract, you play where I tell you to play. You think about this, right? And so I like what you're saying. Be upfront and tell Pete you're going to pretty much be the DH.
Well, because how could you want him back as a first baseman? He's not good.
No, what I'm saying is I don't want him back. Right. But I don't need to tell him before that he's going to DH 100 games. Hey, here's the 3 years. I would go 3 years plus one. That's what I would probably do. That's my drop-dead offer. I'm not going more than that.
39 a year, roughly.
Yeah, whatever. Let them figure that out. 30, right. 29, okay. 30, something like that. 3 plus 1. Okay. Hey, Pete, you're my first baseman. Then the season starts. I get a better defensive first baseman, and I let Pete DH 2 or 3 times. What is he going to say? I'm not playing?
Yeah.
You're going to play where I tell you to play.
But I mean, I'd rather just be upfront with him. Either way, my point is, forget about what you would say to him, how we would build the Mets out. Pete coming back as a DH makes their lineup stronger. Having his bat behind Soto makes their lineup stronger. Also, you can upgrade defensively at first base. That's why, to me, it is a slam dunk. The only holdup would be, would he be willing to do that? And if he's not, I've then got to move on. I am no longer interested in, and I wasn't even interested in doing this a year ago.
No.
I'm no longer interested in having Pete Alonso be the everyday first baseman, regardless of the contract. He could tell me, I'll come back and play first base for free for 162 games. And I would say, I appreciate that. I don't want you to play first base. I'd rather pay you to be a DH because I'm trying to make the team better. This is not a money thing.
Yeah.
It's about trying to make the team better.
That won a championship.
Correct. How do they get better? You keep Pete's bat in the lineup.
Yeah,
and you find somebody else to play first base defensively.
Okay, think about this, guys, right? And I know, and we'll get these calls, and it's going to be very split. I think a lot of people understand the reality of Pete at this point. All the good, all the bad. Come on, we watched him for 7 years. We know what he can do and what he can't. But if you are staunchly against possibly moving on from Pete, all right? I don't mean just as a DH or as a first. I mean, totally. Think about what you saw in the World Series. Is he going to turn 3-6-3 double plays? Is he going to, you know, cut down a runner at home on a contact play from third base? No, he's not. Is he going to, you know, throw a dime to the plate when somebody's trying to score on a double down the right field line and he's the cutoff man from Soto? The answer is no. He's going to lollipop it. And you're going to probably lose the game as a result. And I think that now, the other thing, too, we know his deficiencies, and that's got to be worked around.
And we know his strengths.
And they're plentiful. There's no doubt about it. I am not letting him dictate when I do the other stuff. Here's the other aspect of it. Like, Pete, I need an answer soon, buddy. We're not looking to get rid of you, and that's kind of what you're saying as well. We're not looking to get rid of you. We'd like to find a way to make this work. But if you're going to drag your feet and this thing goes into mid-December, hey, we got to find out about Bellinger. We got to check it on Tucker. We got to check it on Scoob. We got to make it a we got to check it on Valdez. We have things to do because we are nowhere near a World Series team. You either jump in or you jump out, but we're not waiting for you.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you to the Town Fair Tire. You always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Larry is in Westchester starting us off. What's up, Larry?
Hey, BT, Sal. How you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Larry?
Okay, listen, I wanted the Mets to do exactly what the Jets did. They got to blow it up and start again. As far as Alonso goes, I would do this with Pete. 4 years, $35 million guaranteed every year, option for a fifth, no opt-outs. If he hesitates for more than a month, say goodbye, and start the rebuilding process. Like you guys were saying, they need so many pieces. They need a second baseman. They need a center fielder. You can't have Alonso hold up Stearns' off-season plans, not to mention the pitching, which is in total shambles,
yeah,
over one guy. Pete's a nice player. I love him, but I'm ready to move on. It has to be done. Like DT, you just said, they're nowhere near a World Series.
They're not.
And they need so much work, and to have one guy constantly hold it up, not right.
Well, I wouldn't say constantly, Larry. Yeah, no, I got you. Good call. We got you. I'm not saying constantly. I mean, your contract's up when it's up, and then you've got to deal with it. That's business, and we don't begrudge them for going through the business, but the business last year, the way it trickled in, it's got to be different than the way it goes down this year is what I think both of you and I are saying. You know, you can't have this go on for 7 weeks. What's the plan? Now, the one thing, when Larry talks about the Jets and the rebuild, as much as the Mets need to do, it's not a rebuild. Like, there are moves. Like, there's no move that the Jets could have made at the trade deadline or this coming into the season, more specifically for the offseason, that would have elevated them to a championship status. That they're just nowhere near it. The Mets, there is a path to do that because they're a pretty good team with the ability to be a very good team if they do the right things.
100%. I mean, the Blue Jays went from worst to first, and they were in the World Series this year. So yep. It's not just the Dodgers model. There are other ways to do it, not to mention that 2 seasons ago, the Mets were in the NLCS, just a couple of games away from the World Series. So I don't think it's as far as it may seem, or certainly coming off an 83-win season, but they've got to make the right moves, and that's why investing in Pete Alonso is not a bad investment. You've got to invest in the right part of Pete Alonso's game. That's the power. That plays. That's a known commodity in New York, in big spots. Pete Alonso's power is proven. I want to invest in that, but I can't invest him as a first baseman. It's got to be as a DH, and I'm not letting him or his agent hold me up. I'm sorry. I would have a hard stance on that, and I don't even care about Boris's other players then. He doesn't like it? Tough. The Mets have shown the willing. The Scott Boras needs the Mets more than the Mets need Scott Boras. I'll go find other players elsewhere. I don't need to get Scott. Even Tarik Skubal, I don't care. I'll go find another starting pitcher. I'll go pay somebody else. Scott Boras doesn't control the New York Mets. The Mets, Scott Boras needs them and their money to drive prices up with Steve Cohen now at the helm. I am, if I'm the Mets, not letting anybody dictate what I do this offseason. I'm hitting the ground running trying to rebuild this thing here or build this thing to get to a World Series caliber, and I can't let Alonso or anybody else hold me up.
I respect that, but here's the one problem. Because the Mets and because Cohen has so much money, they're going to be strung along here. You know what I mean? Especially for
only if they allow it.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. I mean, that's why if you drop down that drop dead date of, hey, listen, you know, at least a more defined, maybe not drop dead, but a more defined parameter timeline than last year where it just dragged on. That's fair. That's one way to circumvent that. But
if the Mets are out of play on Pete,
mm-hmm.
you think he's getting the offer that he wants somewhere else? He may not get it anyway.
I don't even know if he's going to get that from the Mets.
But
what I was going to say,
the
yeah.
Point.
Well, that's why. Yes, Boras needs to, like, you need the Mets at the poker table right here for Pete. Because if the Mets are like, hey, you know what, we respect you, we love you, but we're going to move on. Well, now the options dry up, and then it very well might be like 1+1 or 2+1, right, like it was a year ago. 1+1 for Pete. The thing is, and I Sal, I like what you're saying about him being the DH because we know he is not a good first baseman at this point, but I under no circumstance can I envision him, like, just the way it would happen, him opening day, you want to throw him out there, opening day, yeah, the symbolic, yeah, first baseman, whatever, but meaning I just don't see him consenting to it. I don't even see the Mets being that forward
even
in their presentation.
Even if he got the money?
No. Because just because we don't think he's a good first baseman and the metrics bear that out, he takes pride in playing first base. So,
but if the offer was the best one out there?
Yep. Well, I mean, I don't know.
The Mets could give him that.
Yeah.
They could say, we want you to be a lifelong Met, and we want you to continue to hit home runs here. We want to invest in you. We'll give you the 5-year, $150 million, whatever the math is.
I'm not giving you six.
Nobody's giving 6 or 7, so you don't need to get reckless. But look, maybe if you want to go to the 6-year, fine, but lesser than the value. However they want to make him happy financially, contract-wise,
yep,
they have the power to do that.
The
only ask would be, from my perspective, you got to be open to DHing sooner than later. You don't have to, even if you don't want to give him specific numbers. For me, I'd do half the year this year, and then you start to phase him out into being a full-time DH.
I think he would take that as disrespect, and I think he would walk out. And you know what? If the Mets were to be that forward and that brazen, if you will, well, they've already baked the possibility of him responding that way into that calculus. Like, it's not like if the Mets do what you want them to do, And Pete's like, no, I'm offended. That's just disrespect. Well, to be go. Okay. But there's no way the Mets would be like, oh, wow, he's disrespected. Of course they would understand that that's right. a possibility.
Of course.
No, so I get that. So,
but he also wants the money.
He wants the money, but now, and I don't even want to get into the finances of the different states and the taxes, whatever.
Okay, but he could go
somewhere. But you think about this, like, because what you're saying is if the Mets, if he was to be approached as a part-time DH and he was turned off by it, but the money made it more appealing where he swallowed his pride, right? That's basically.
Well, or he just...
Not, or he says no.
Well, not swallowing. He can do whatever he wants.
I got you. But I don't think the Mets, under any circumstance, their offer will be so much more than any other team's offer that... And then you bake in, again, the tax implications. I think, if it's a five-year deal for the Mets or a 3+1 from somebody else or something, yeah, let's stick with that. And the Mets are like, you DH in and you play in first base, and the Angels say, you're our first baseman. I think he's gone.
Okay.
For less money in less years. I think he's saying, you know what? I felt disrespected last year. You gave Soto $800 million, you know, rightfully so. But what he's thinking is, and I got to beg for this money? I'm leaving.
Okay,
I'm done.
So then who cares?
No, I agree.
Would say, okay, we'll see you later. Yes. I don't want you to be the first baseman.
In a lot of ways, that would make it easier on the Mets because if Pete makes the decision for them, well, now the Met fan can't be mad at the Mets for disrespecting a Met legend.
There's a thought about, well, the Mets would be better off with Pete Alonso. The Mets would be better off without Pete Alonso. This is definitive. The Mets would be better off with Pete Alonso as their DH. If he doesn't like it, move on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Don Mattingly going to be stepping away. There's a Post exclusive. John Heyman had it. Mattingly going to be stepping away from the Blue Jays on great terms, leaving them in a great position, blah, blah, blah. But he does say this is not a retirement announcement. And he's open to new opportunities. There are a couple of managerial spots open. I believe the Padres and Rockies are the two remaining. Dude, they had Braves, Orioles, Angels, Giants, Twins, Rangers, Nationals, Rockies, Padres. Of the nine, seven have been filled already. And it doesn't seem like they're going the way of a Don Mattingly type.
I mean, I hope he doesn't go to the Rockies. I mean, Donnie, a little pride here. Come on. I know you want to manage again, maybe, but the Rockies? No,
see something that Adevino got interviewed there?
I did. Alf and I were talking about that the other day. I think he's going to do TV more and more out of Vino, right? That's what I thought he was going
to
do.
Yeah, I think he wants to be. Well, that's what he was doing.
Yeah,
with
more
SNY and then a little bit with Yes, I think. But I mean, I think he's eyeing maybe a bigger job, whether it be a front office, whether it be a manager's job.
Uh-huh.
So who knows about the Rockies, where he obviously played there for a while. But anyway, for Donnie. You want the Padres or Rockies job?
No, I want him here. I want him home.
How about the Mets?
Get
him bring
on the bench.
Yeah, how about the Mets bring him in? They got vacancies all over with the coaching staff.
Can you imagine that?
I love it.
You're serious about that?
Have him coach first. And matter of fact, maybe
coach first.
Yeah, maybe he can.
He's not coaching first.
Why not? Maybe he can play a little first. You have Alonzo DH. Can Mattingly play some first? He's a perfect compliment.
Willis Reed was a player's coach for a minute back in the day. We've seen that a little bit around here. I mean, Joe Torre as well. So, oh my God, Dottie is way past the point of holding shin guards and batting gloves and all the other ridiculous devices and contraptions
Donnie
that these players
in a Mets
have.
Uniform.
Oh man. I'll tell you what, but be very good for the bench because he's a great baseball man. Now, we're joking about Donnie coaching first base. Yeah. You better find a first base coach because you lost the best one in the game rival.
Yeah, okay, the best one. Don't you think, all kidding aside, first and foremost, I could not care less. First base coach. I mean, come on. You think I'm going to get worked up about a first base coach? Oh, from an 83-win team, no less. I mean, good God. Second, don't you think, all kidding aside, that something doesn't add up? The Mets aren't dumb, nor are they cheap. So there seems to be more to this. And I know there's some reports out there yesterday that were saying, oh, well, Richardson and the Mets just couldn't come to an agreement. What could be the difference on a first base coach's contract as far as finances go?
Yeah, it's funny. I was in the car, and I heard Evan and Tiki and the guys talking about this, and I wound up texting Evan and Sean at a stoplight. And my thought was, that's not really money-driven. I remember the story. I don't this. No, what are you going to nickel and dime Richardson for $75,000? I mean, come on. When he didn't get thrown out, steal the base for 3 months, and Juan Soto basically stole 40, and you're Steve Cohen? No, there's no way that's what happened. What I believe happened was that it was a philosophical difference. I think, while I know he's still going to coach first base, literally, for the Braves, I think that there's more of a say, maybe a little more juice organizationally. To what extent, I'm not sure. But the story a couple of weeks ago was that Richardson wanted to be elevated to the bench. Remember that?
Right.
And the Mets didn't seem amenable to that for whatever reason. Maybe they just value him as a first base coach. So I don't think it was about the money at all. Well, maybe they were apart on salaries, but I don't think that that was the divisive force that led to the breakup. I think it was that he wanted to have more of a role on the team, and the Mets said, no, we're good.
I don't know the exact things. Maybe you're right. I just can't imagine that if the Mets valued him as much as everybody thinks he should be valued, that they'd let him go.
I don't know how
for
you
nickels.
And I. How are we not on the same page with this?
For Steve Cohen.
What he did as a first base coach is amazing.
No, but my point is, I think it's more on the players and whatever.
Then why didn't Juan Soto steal 38 bases the year before the playoffs?
He said he was going to try to steal more bases when he got here, even before Richardson was even a known name. He became a known name because of the success they had. And I'm not trying to take that away from him. All I'm saying is, if you think it and others think it, don't you think the Mets could easily be like, well, we can't let this guy go? And for what? $100,000 to Steve Cohen? Well, that's a nickel? Like,
that's why I don't think it's the money.
Oh, me neither.
Think it's more
so
than
that's
that.
My point. So
yeah. Philosophical disconnect. It happens.
Maybe he wanted to be elevated.
Yes.
And maybe the Mets said, no, we value more as a first base coach.
That's what I believe.
You can say. Also, maybe Richardson seeing the writing on the wall saying, I don't want to work with
a lame duck staff.
I don't want to. Who's the new bench coach that they got?
Who is it?
Kai something?
Kai Correa.
Yeah,
there you go.
Coaches, really, they mean so much.
Kai Correa. Maybe
he doesn't want to work if he sees Mendy potentially being on the hot seat, which he is.
Yeah, sure.
Getting fired, then Kai Correa is going to be his boss. Who knows? So I have no issue with him leaving, but I also can't imagine that he was valued that greatly by the way the Mets handled this whole thing.
Watch Acuna. He's going to break Ricky's single season record. He's going to steal 173 bases because of Richardson.
Come on, dude.
He's awesome at first base.
Yeah, and Hefner,
I want
too.
About the Yankees. Bring him over.
Hefner, too, with the Braves. Yeah, he's so good. They're so good. Well, then how come the Mets only won 83 games? Yeah. I mean, maybe Richardson could be doing a little bit more than just stealing bases. Big deal. How about you do something else?
I could say that maybe if you didn't have Richardson, you would have won 75 games.
Now, we'll find out this year.
Come on, Nick, I personally did a good job.
I would take the over. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Matt is in Westchester. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Good.
What's going on, buddy?
So just a couple of points. I think first, listening to Stearns' end of year press conference, he really talked about defense a lot and the ability to maximize each spot on the field defensively. So I think I would be surprised if Pete is back as much as I want him back, but I got a question for you guys. And then I got one more point. If you could have one of the two back, Pete or Edwin Diaz, which one would you guys rather have back?
Pete.
For the Mets next
Pete,
year.
Pete. I'd rather have Pete back.
Yeah, but I would want Pete back, but in a different role. And by the way, it shouldn't be one or the other. It could be both.
Boom.
Also, I'm not paying $100 million for Edwin Diaz again. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it.
I agree. No, I agree. I agree completely. And I think that was going to be my next point is I think the Mets this offseason, as much as people are probably not going to like it, I think it's going to be all about pitching. Because I think, you know, as much as it felt at times like a struggle, our offense really wasn't bad last year. And I think if Stearns is really serious about this offseason, we're going to see a big overhaul, both in the bullpen and in the starting pitching.
I hope that there's an overhaul in the lineup, Matt. And thank you for the call. To me, the bullpen, I'd forget about. Not just completely ignore it. You can build the bullpen in season. Whatever you have on paper going in, it could look at the Yankees. It could look completely different by the trade deadline, by certain pickups. I'm not nuts. Now, I do understand the value of Diaz and having a set closer, But I also think that that's the easiest thing to fix in season and maybe the hardest thing to build outside of the season. So I would kind of punt bullpen or put it on the shelf and address the starting rotation, which is imperative, and then restructure the shape of the lineup and the defense.
I think the first order of business has to be School Bowl. I really do. I mean, and then I think Pete's probably second. And at that point, you know, then you get to some of the other ancillary items, whether it's a McNeil or whatever it might be. You got to make some decisions. Maybe, you know, you don't have to, but maybe you elect to make a decision on Beatty/Vientos. You could get to that stuff, but like the School Bowl stuff is central. Like, you know, the Mets, it's funny because the caller said that a lot of people, in his words, not mine, would be upset if the Mets focus on pitching. Well, I mean, how upset were you watching them play last year when you're in the bullpen 2 2/3? I mean, you know, 3 innings, bullpen. So I just think it's going to be a very different approach, and that was a very astute recollection. He uses the term run prevention, not defense. Stearns hammered that home a million times, and I believe that Stearns is a man of his word. Whether he's going to be a great GM or a good one, we'll find out. But when he says they are focusing on run prevention, he's not just saying that to sound cute and smart. He knows Pete cannot, he's just not a good first baseman.
Well, that's my point, is that the run prevention can be taken many different ways. Get better pitching, which Stearns has not done, and upgrade the defense. So there are two different ways to do that. I just hope that it's not all about the pitching and running it back essentially with the same type of lineup. I don't think that that's good enough. They need to... I can't watch them again with Vientos, Beatty, Alonso, McNeil, Acuna,
Nimmo.
Lindor, Alvarez, Nimmo, whoever's in center field.
Yeah.
And that's why I do think School Bowl should be
the
first.
But what if you have a stud in center field? What if you have Bellinger in center field?
But that's a big, fair enough. That's a big what if. So when did they decide to go get Bellinger? Is it before Pete? Is it after Pete? Is it let's just lock up Bellinger now and then we could make him play a little bit of first. We can make him play some center field. In reality, he'd be the perfect fit because you need a first baseman and center fielder. And if you brought him in with bringing Pete back, now you can have Pete DH, you have Bellinger play a little first.
I'll be very good.
He's one of the young
guys
in center field.
That'll be good.
But is that something that they're thinking? I don't know. Also, they talk about Carson Benj being a potential center fielder, young center fielder. Great. What if you need to use him in a piece to get School Bowl? Then he's gone, and now you definitively need a center fielder.
You know, the more I think about this, Bellinger, certainly School Bowl item number one, but Bellinger... You know, I don't want to see him go to you guys. I want to see him stay with the Yankees. And I think that he will stay with the Yankees. But, like, if you were to get him, now it enables you to do things like now you're not desperate. Now you can say, okay, well, we have our center fielder. Let's go to first base. Or we have our first baseman. Let's go to center. It just creates a complete more room to breathe in the offseason, somebody like Bellinger.
Which is why Bellinger might get a lot of money from multiple teams.
He's going to.
Because he's a useful piece. I just think he's better, Bellinger, as a Yankee. I can't trust his offensive production. The Mets wouldn't be getting him for his offense. Now, it's obviously a part of his game. They'd be getting him because he plays elite-level defense in center field and could play first base, could play the corner. That's the Mets need a player like that.
Yeah, but he still would have been the third or fourth best offensive player on the team last year.
Yeah, but he...
Behind Soto, Pete, and Lindor.
Is that a product of being in Yankee Stadium or being in that Yankee lineup as opposed to being with the Mets? He's had inconsistencies offensively throughout his career.
So
I just think he's the perfect Yankee. By the way, the Yankees, Nino... If he's not playing center field, who is? You're not going to, who knows what Grisham, and I personally wouldn't go that route again.
I don't want him back.
All right, Spencer Jones, I mean, maybe you move Spencer Jones in a piece for something else that makes you fit better. I think he's valuable to the Yankees, and I think he just fits there so well.
Me too.
I don't think the Mets are going to go over the top to get him the way that they did Soto a year ago. It's totally different.
I would agree. Here we are, guys. You know, the blueprints are being set. Yanks and Mets try to draw this thing up, and we start with Pete Alonso, obviously. This thing could go either way, and we'll get back to these calls coming up. Both of us do not think this trickles on deep into the offseason like it did a year ago.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is the one thing I said all before while the Mets were collapsing. This cannot be a distraction from the actual offseason of what they need to do, which is basically blow the whole thing up and get actual players in here. But Pete Alonso's going to handcuff everything. Get this done. Set us all free from it. Just get it done one way or the other. Either move on or sign to a contract.
And people in the know, BT, seem to think that the way that, you know, the way that Boris operates and their demands, that this is, again, going to drag out. Which is why I'm saying if you're the Mets, you can't be held hostage by Alonso. As much as you want his bat back in that lineup, you got to move on and do other things.
And it's only going to drag out if the Mets let him do it. That's the thing. You know, Boris has his playbook, and usually, you know, he's got the leverage because he's got the big-time clients. But, you know, I mean, the Mets have a little leverage in the sense that you would think that Pete would like to stay here. And they've got to exercise that power and say, hey, listen, Scotty, we know what you're ready, what you try to do and get those extra years. But if we don't know by this date, we're moving on, buddy. So you better let them know what's going on.
The other thing that I've heard, again, from people in the know is that Boris won't, whoever his other clients are, he won't move on them before Alonso, meaning with the Mets, let's say as it pertains to the Mets.
Yeah.
He won't do anything that would prevent the best business for Pete. Let's say his other client, meaning that who's Bellinger? Do we know about Bellinger? Is he a Boris guy?
I think he is a Boris guy.
Me too, which is why I'm saying I just want to confirm that. Let's say he is. And again, I'm just throwing out hypothetical because I forget. I talked to so many different people about this so many different times over the years, but I know that, yeah, Bellinger is. So let's say the Mets say we want Bellinger. Boris would be like, yeah, hold on now. You got to figure out what's going on with Pete first. Meaning, because he knows that if the Mets were to sign Bellinger, he loses leverage with Pete.
But why didn't he do that with Soto and Pete last year?
Well, he did. He waited for, Soto wasn't signed until December.
December 11th, I think Juan signed, right?
And also, he was a different animal. I think he got to a point where, you know, they reached their, whatever it was, and then the rest of the offseason fell into place. And also, Soto had nothing to do with Pete. In this particular case, let's say Bellinger.
Oh, same position kind of deal. Well,
if the Mets sign Bellinger, likely they're going to be less likely to sign Pete. It might be in addition to, it might not. And I don't know if Boris is going to be willing to have the Mets use up one of their spots on, even though it's one of his clients, that might hurt Pete Alonso's leverage. If you take the Mets out of play for Pete, whatever his market is going to be significantly dented.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But the Mets have to be smart, and they will be, that they're not just, you know, used in the process here. I mean, if we're saying this on the radio, that's business 101. The Mets clearly know that, and they can't let that happen. So they've got to kind of rewrite the rules a little bit here. It's on the Mets' parameters. It can't be on Pete's timeline this year. It's just, you know, it's business. It is what it is. So let me ask you that. Put Pete aside for a sec, okay? Yeah. There's a thought, and I don't even really necessarily know where I stand yet. I want you to get first crack at this. So, thought is, we both think, and or know, the Mets need to do a lot this offseason.
Right.
We also think that there's probably a temptation for Cohen to flex because he's a little bit pissed off from last year. But the possibly being offset by what's a bit of a conservative approach by the general manager. Do you think that the Mets just go bonkers this offseason with everything?
I think the Mets are going to be aggressive, very aggressive, but also smart. And that's kind of where I'm at. I think that there's this notion that you need to bring back Diaz and bring back Alonso. And a part of me understands that. And then on top of that, go get Skubal and go get Suarez. I understand that. I don't know if it's smart business. I know it's not smart business, and I wouldn't do it. I don't care how many home runs he has as a Met. I'm not bringing Pete back without the idea that he's going to be a primary DH. I also don't know if it's smart business to just commit to a closer that's already given you his best years for another 5 years, $100 million.
I'm not feeling the re-signing of Diaz at all. That is not very important to me. I'm sorry.
I think they're going to do it. I think he wants to be here, and I think they want him. I just don't think it's good business. We went over this years ago with Hader. I wanted the Yankees to go get Hader. They didn't do it. He hasn't been the same. He's been good, but he hasn't been the same certainly as he was with Milwaukee. And Stearns didn't want to commit big money, which is why he ended up trading all those guys. I can't commit big money to a closer. But if Steve Cohen says, well, it doesn't really matter, we want him here and focus on more of the next 2 years as opposed to the final 3 years of that deal, then maybe you have a little more wiggle room to work with if you're Stearns. But to answer your question, I think they're going to be as aggressive as any other team in baseball, maybe outside of the Dodgers, but they should be on par with that. But also just doing it in a smart way. I don't think it's just, let's sign this guy and let's sign that guy and let's sign this guy. You got to figure out, this group wasn't good enough. Even with the monster years that they got from Soto, Alonso, Lindor, and Nemo, it wasn't anywhere near good enough. Defensively, all that. And I don't believe it's just a matter of fixing the rotation to make them better. I think it's deeper than that.
It is.
So that's what I want to see. I want to see the aggressiveness in the rotation, which is easy to repair. Trade, free agent, throw some money, go get a couple of arms, put them in that rotation. They're already better there. Bullpen I wouldn't worry about because those things you could fix in season. How are they going to fix the core, the infrastructure of this group when they've already committed a lot of money? The easy thing is to let Alonso walk, but now you're losing counted on production behind Soto, which is why I say I wouldn't let him walk. I'd want him to be the DH.
Here's the other thing that I think is a little tricky for the Mets, and there's no guarantee that they navigate this the right way. I think it's very hard to do this. They've got a very highly rated farm system. We all know that, right? Which means they'll be
finally
in play. Yeah, for sure. Which means they'll be in play for Skubal and all the other stuff that we've already talked about here. But going bonkers, that's why I asked you the question, like, you know, the Bellingers and maybe a Schwarber or you know, Pete bringing back Diaz, all the things we've Tucker or whatever, if you want to throw that on the table. So it's hard, or it's a challenge to commit multi-year, several multi-year deals to players when you have players who are ready to play at the minor league level.
Right.
Like, you generally do that when your minor league system is not very good and you just buy some players if you got the resources. But the Mets are in the decision slash evaluation mode right now of determining, all right, is Jett Williams going to be a player for us moving forward?
Right.
What about the center fielder?
Bench,
what about the first
bench,
baseman?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So I don't know how they view these prospects. They probably like them, but do they love them? And if they love them, then why would you give either Pete or Bellinger or Tucker or whomever 5-6-7 year deals when they're just going to block the path, or Bregman, when they're going to block the path to somebody that might be ready to play?
And go ahead, Off. You have a question?
I do, because here's the deal, right? They have about $250-something million committed to the books as it is right now, okay? How much to catch up to the Dodgers in any capacity, financially or just talent-wise, you're going to have a lot of turnover. You're going to have to add a lot of pieces to it. Are we talking about, is this going to be close to a $400 million payroll? Or are we going to say there's a cap at $350? Because then you're talking about another weak team that's not going to go anywhere. Because you're replacing, you're trying to replace Alonso and Diaz who aren't already there. So who are you replacing them with, right, with all those numbers? And now you're going to, just to replace those two guys, but we already have a ton
other
of other
holes.
Yeah,
right.
Everywhere. Well, that's legitimately a pitching rotation.
But that's the problem. But the rotation, I think, is an easier fix than it may seem. Now, even if you forget Skubal, and I wouldn't, he'd be the primary thing, but let's just say the Tigers don't
Mets are going to get Skubal. They're going to get him.
But the Tigers have to make him available.
They're going to get him.
I tend to feel the same way, but I'm not 100% sure. I think the Tigers are going to end up trading him, and when they do, the Mets will land him. Let's just say that the Tigers don't make Skubal available.
Mm-hmm.
You still can repair the rotation.
For sure.
Rather simply, just go sign two of the top free agents. It's not that hard. Now, or trade for somebody else and sign one of the top free agents. Repairing the rotation is, to me, the easy fix here for the Mets. It's the rest of it, how you're cleaning that up. Where's the balance with which young guys are you going to believe in and rely on?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, to win a World Series, you need to, those guys have to hit. Like, you have to make sure you make the right decision and say, well, Benj is a player, or Jett Williams has come up and contributed. You're going to need some kind of combination, a balance. Also, how are you going to, are you going to roll with Brandon Nimmo in left field every day
I
again?
Think that they are. I wouldn't, but I think that they are.
I'd rather him, if you let Pete walk, I think it's an easier fix where you have Nimmo DH a little bit. You could get a better defensive left fielder.
Or Vientos could be the righty DH, and obviously Nimmo lefty.
I want Vientos out. BT, how are you getting better? How are you getting better in the forget the rotation.
Yep.
In the lineup. Soto's not going anywhere. You have no idea who the center fielder is, and even the options for center field outside of Bellinger aren't slam dunks. Could Benj be it? Maybe. Could they go trade for Luis Robert? Okay, maybe. There are no slam dunks in center field, at least not that I'm seeing, outside of Cody Bellinger, and I don't think it's likely. Nimmo in left, no center fielder, Soto in right, Lindor's not going anywhere at short, the Vientos, Beatty, Mauricio at third, the same thing at second, Acuna, McNeil, Jett Williams even.
It's not good enough. Can't do it.
Alvarez a catcher. So it's not good enough. So how are they changing all of that? And even if I say, well, Lindor's not going anywhere, Soto's not going anywhere, Now, how are you going to reconfigure the rest of that? There's a lot of questions.
They got a lot of work to do, man. But here's the one other, I know you're focusing on the hitting, which I don't necessarily disagree with, at least for this part of the conversation. But and this is a smaller thing, but this matters. So how many starts have, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, McClain had what, 11 starts? I think that's the number in my head.
Wow.
I think it was 11.
Right up there with Shohei Ohtani, if he could only hit.
Yeah, I think it was 11. Either way, I don't think it was much more than that. You're going, if he's healthy, you're getting 20 more starts from McClain this year.
Right.
So now, if McClain started last year in the rotation, how many?
8 starts.
That's it?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so even more. But let's just say 20, right? Because usually top of the rotation guy gets 32, 33 starts. But do a whole number 20. Imagine if McClain had 20 more starts for the Mets last year. They're a playoff team.
Right.
They're a playoff team. Now, listen, when you do that, that's also a little foolhardy because, God forbid, if he gets hurt, I mean, I know it's never quite that literal. We'll just insert this and project that out, and that'll work out, and he'll carry the mail here, and this guy will incrementally, you know, progress through, Sprode or Tong. I know it's never that easy, but I think all of us think that McClain, like, I look at McClain in a lot of ways, and Schlittler, too, but I'm talking about the Mets. I look at McClain in a lot of the ways, I look at like Jackson Dart, like a no doubter. Like right. I think
they
he's
still
a stud, man.
They still, it wasn't good enough even when he came up.
No, I know, but that's why I'm saying it would have been. I think it would have been good enough if McClain had 20 more starts, which he will have this year as a full time top of the rotation from opening day pitcher. Then the Mets don't win 83 games last year. I think the Mets probably win 85, 86, 87, and they're a playoff team.
I don't think it's as difficult to repair the rotation as everybody's making it seem. It's an easier fix. That's why I'm saying the challenging part, the hard part, is reconfiguring that lineup and their defensive alignment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.